Chapter 83. No? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Headstone, I thank you sincerely, I thank you gratefully, and hope you may find a worthy wife before long, and be very happy. But it is no. Apostrophe is no short time necessary for reflection, no weeks or days. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he asked, in the same half-suffocated way. None whatever. Apostrophe, are you quite decided, and is there no chance of any change in my favor? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am quite decided, Mr. Headstone, and I am bound to answer I am certain there is none. Apostrophe, then, apostrophe, said he, suddenly changing his tone and turning to her, and bringing his clenched hand down upon the stone with a force that laid the knuckles raw and bleeding. Then I hope that I may never kill him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the dark look of hatred and revenge with which the words broke from his livid lips, and with which he stood holding out his smeared hand, as if it held some weapon, and had just struck a mortal blow, made her so afraid of him, that she turned to run away. But he caught her by the arm. Mr. Headstone, let me go. Mr. Headstone, I must call for help. Apostrophe, it is I who should call for help, apostrophe, he said. You don't know yet how much I need it. Apostrophe, the working of his face as she shrank from it, glancing round for her brother and uncertain what to do, might have extorted a cry from her in another instant. But all at once he sternly stopped it and fixed it, as if death itself had done so. There. You see, I have recovered myself. Hear me out. Apostrophe, with much of the dignity of courage, as she recalled her self-reliant life and her right to be free from accountability to this man, she released her arm from his grasp, and stood looking full at him. She had never been so handsome, in his eyes. A shade came over them, while he looked back at her, as if she drew the very light out of them to herself. This time, at least, I will leave nothing unsaid, apostrophe, he went on, folding his hands before him, clearly to prevent his being betrayed into any impetuous gesture. This last time at least I will not be tortured with afterthoughts of a lost opportunity. Mr. Eugene Rayburn, apostrophe, was it of him you spoke in your ungovernable rage and violence? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Lizzie Hexham demanded with spirit. He bit his lip, and looked at her, and said never a word. Was it Mr. Rayburn that you threatened? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he bit his lip again, and looked at her, and said never a word. You asked me to hear you out, and you will not speak. Let me find my brother. Apostrophe, stay. I threatened no one. Apostrophe, her look dropped for an instant to his bleeding hand. He lifted it to his mouth, wiped it on his sleeve, and again folded it over the other. Mr. Eugene Rayburn, apostrophe, he repeated. Why do you mention that name again and again, Mr. Headstone? Apostrophe, apostrophe, because it is the text of the little I have left to say. Observe. There are no threats in it. If I utter a threat, stop me, and fasten it upon me. Mr. Eugene Rayburn. Apostrophe, a worse threat than was conveyed in his manner of uttering the name, could hardly have escaped him. He haunts you. You accept favors from him. You are willing enough to listen to him. I know it, as well as he does. Apostrophe, Mr. Rayburn has been considerate and good to me, sir, apostrophe, said Lizzie, proudly, in connection with the death and with the memory of my poor father. Apostrophe, no doubt. He is of course a very considerate, and a very good man, Mr. Eugene Rayburn. Apostrophe, he is nothing to you, I think, apostrophe, said Lizzie, with an indignation she could not repress. Oh yes, he is. There you mistake. He is much to me. Apostrophe, what can he be to you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he can be a rival to me among other things, apostrophe, said Bradley. Mr. Headstone, apostrophe, returned Lizzie, with a burning face, it is cowardly in you to speak to me in this way. but it makes me able to tell you that I do not like you, and that I never have liked you from the first, and that no other living creature has anything to do with the effect you have produced upon me for yourself. Apostrophe, his head bent for a moment, as if under a weight, and he then looked up again, moistening his lips. I was going on with the little I had left to say. I knew all this about Mr. Eugene Rayhearn, all the while you were drawing me to you. I strove against the knowledge, but quite in vain. It made no difference in me. With Mr. Eugene Rayburn in my mind, I went on. With Mr. Eugene Rayburn in my mind, I spoke to you just now. With Mr. Eugene Rayburn in my mind, I have been set aside, and I have been cast out. Apostrophe, if you give those names to my thanking you for your proposal and declining it, is it my fault, Mr. Headstone? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Lizzie, compassionating the bitter struggle he could not conceal, almost as much as she was repelled and alarmed by it. I am not complaining, apostrophe, he returned, I am only stating the case. I had to wrestle with my self-respect when I submitted to be drawn to you in spite of Mr. Rayburn. You may imagine how low my self-respect lies now. Apostrophe, she was hurt and angry, but repressed herself in consideration of his suffering, and of his being her brother's friend. And it lies under his feet, apostrophe, said Bradley, unfolding his hands in spite of himself, and fiercely motioning with them both towards the stones of the pavement. Remember that. It lies under that fellow's feet, and he treads upon it and exults above it. Apostrophe, he does not. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Lizzie. He does. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Bradley. I have stood before him face to face, and he crushed me down in the dirt of his contempt, and walked over me. Why? Because he knew with triumph what was in store for me tonight. Apostrophe, oh, Mr. Headstone, you talk quite wildly. Apostrophe, quite collectedly. I know what I say too well. Now I have said all. I have used no threat, remember. I have done no more than show you how the case stands. How the case stands, so far. Apostrophe, at this moment her brother sauntered into view close by. She darted to him, and caught him by the hand. Bradley followed, and laid his heavy hand on the boy's opposite shoulder. Charlie Hexham, I am going home. I must walk home by myself tonight, and get shut up in my room without being spoken to. Give me half an hour's start, and let me be, till you find me at my work in the morning. I shall be at my work in the morning just as usual. Apostrophe, clasping his hands, he uttered a short unearthly broken cry, and went his way. The brother and sister were left looking at one another near a lamp in the solitary churchyard, and the boy's face clouded and darkened, as he said in a rough tone, "What is the meaning of this? What have you done to my best friend? Out with the truth." Apostrophe, apostrophe, Charlie. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said his sister. Speak a little more considerately. Apostrophe, I am not in the humor for consideration, or for nonsense of any sort, apostrophe, replied the boy. What have you been doing? Why has Mr. Headstone gone from us in that way? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he asked me, you know he asked me to be his wife, Charlie. Apostrophe, well? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the boy, impatiently. And I was obliged to tell him that I could not be his wife. Apostrophe, you were obliged to tell him, apostrophe, repeated the boy angrily, between his teeth, and rudely pushing her away. You were obliged to tell him. Do you know that he is worth 50 of you? Apostrophe, it may easily be so, Charlie, but I cannot marry him. Apostrophe, you mean, that you are conscious, that you can't appreciate him, and don't deserve him, I suppose? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I mean, that I do not like him, Charlie, and that I will never marry him. Apostrophe, upon my soul, apostrophe, exclaimed the boy, you are a nice picture of a sister. Upon my soul, you are a pretty piece of disinterestedness. And so all my endeavors to cancel the past, and to raise myself in the world, and to raise you with me, are to be beaten down by your low whims, Are they? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I will not reproach you, Charlie. Apostrophe, here. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the boy, looking round at the darkness. She won't reproach me. She does her best to destroy my fortunes and her own, and she won't reproach me. Why, you'll tell me, next, that you won't reproach Mr. Headstone for coming out of the sphere to which he is an ornament, and putting himself at your feet, to be rejected by you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, Charlie, I will only tell you, as I told himself, that I thank him for doing so, that I am sorry he did so, and that I hope he will do much better, and be happy. Apostrophe, some touch of compunction smote the boy's hardening heart as he looked upon her, his patient little nurse in infancy, his patient friend, adviser, and reclaimer in boyhood, the self-forgetting sister who had done everything for him. His tone relented, and he drew her arm through his. Now, come, Liz, don't let us quarrel. Let us be reasonable, and talk this over like brother and sister. Will you listen to me? Apostrophe, oh, Charlie. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she replied through her starting tears. Do I not listen to you, and hear many hard things? Apostrophe, apostrophe, then I am sorry. There, Liz. I am unfeignedly sorry. Only you do put me out so. Now see. Mr. Headstone is perfectly devoted to you. He has told me in the strongest manner that he has never been his old self for one single minute since I first brought him to see you. Miss Peacher, our schoolmistress, pretty and young, and all that, is known to be very much attached to him, and he won't so much as look at her or hear of her. Now, his devotion to you must be a disinterested one, mustn't it? If he married Miss Peacher, he would be a great deal better off in all worldly respects than in marrying you. Well then, he has nothing to get by it, has he? Apostrophe, apostrophe, nothing, heaven knows. Apostrophe, apostrophe, very well then, apostrophe, said the boy, that's something in his favor, and a great thing. Then I come in. Mr. Headstone has always got me on, and he has a good deal in his power, and of course, if he was my brother-in-law he wouldn't get me on less, but would get me on more. Mr. Headstone comes and confides in me, in a very delicate way, and says, I hope my marrying your sister would be agreeable to you, Hexam, and useful to you. I say, there's nothing in the world, Mr. Headstone, that I could be better pleased with. Mr. Headstone says, then I may rely upon your intimate knowledge of me for your good word with your sister, Hexam? And I say, certainly, Mr. Headstone, and naturally I have a good deal of influence with her. So I have. Haven't I, Liz? Apostrophe, yes, Charlie. Apostrophe, well said. Now, you see, we begin to get on, the moment we begin to be really talking it over, like brother and sister. Very well. Then you come in. As Mr. Headstone's wife, you would be occupying a most respectable station, and you would be holding a far better place in society than you hold now, and you would at length get quit of the riverside, and the old disagreeables belonging to it, and you would be rid for good of dolls' dressmakers and their drunken fathers, and the like of that. Not that I want to disparage Miss Jenny Wren. I dare say she is all very well in her way. But her way is not your way as Mr. Headstone's wife. Now, you see, Liz, on all three accounts, on Mr. Headstone's, on mine, on yours, nothing could be better or more desirable. Apostrophe, they were walking slowly as the boy spoke, and here he stood still, to see what effect he had made. His sister's eyes were fixed upon him, but as they showed no yielding, and as she remained silent, he walked her on again. There was some discomfiture in his tone as he resumed, though he tried to conceal it. Having so much influence with you, Liz, as I have, perhaps I should have done better to have had a little chat with you in the first instance, before Mr. Headstone spoke for himself. But really all this in his favor seemed so plain and undeniable, and I knew you to have always been so reasonable and sensible, that I didn't consider it worthwhile. Very likely that was a mistake of mine. However, it's soon set right. All that need be done to set it right is for you to tell me at once, that I may go home and tell Mr. Headstone that what has taken place is not final, and that it will all come round by and by. Apostrophe, he stopped again. The pale face looked anxiously and lovingly at him, but she shook her head. Can't you speak? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the boy sharply. I am very unwilling to speak, Charlie. If I must, I must. I cannot authorize you to say any such thing to Mr. Headstone. I cannot allow you to say any such thing to Mr. Headstone. Nothing remains to be said to him from me, after what I have said for good and all, tonight. Apostrophe, and this girl, apostrophe, cried the boy, contemptuously throwing her off again, calls herself a sister. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Charlie, dear, that is the second time that you have almost struck me. Don't be hurt by my words. I don't mean, heaven forbid, that you intended it, but you hardly know with what a sudden swing you removed yourself from me. Apostrophe, however. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the boy, taking no heed of the remonstrance, and pursuing his own mortified disappointment. I know what this means, and you shall not disgrace me. Apostrophe, it means what I have told you, Charlie, and nothing more. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.